You're listening to the Sportsman's Nation Podcast Network, brought to you by Exodus Trail Cameras. In case you're not familiar with Exodus, all of their cameras are backed by a five-year, no BS warranty, and even includes five-year theft and damage coverage. They simply have the best trail camera warranty in the industry and have the customer service to back it up, right? The best part about that is their cameras flat out work, period. Now, April 2nd and April 3rd, they are running a 20% off special off the Trek and the Lift 2 cameras. That's 20%. All you have to do is enter the discount code April, and you're going to receive 20% off your purchase. So go to ExodusOutdoorGear.com, take a look at their cameras, and take advantage of the special offer.
Welcome to the For Love of the Land podcast. We're your hosts, Adam Keith
and Matt Dye.
Each week, we're interviewing guests from across America. They all have one thing in common. They all are tied to the land. So if you're like us and you love all things land, welcome home. All right. So today, we are interviewing Todd Watts. He is a client of Land and Legacy. We're actually sitting in his lodge house in Southeast Ohio, watching a fire burn and kicking back talking about property. Todd, how are you doing today?
Doing fantastic. How
awesome.
About you, Matt?
Man, it doesn't get much better than this. This is, after a long day of habitat work, this is about as good as it gets.
Especially the last hour of rain.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Warming up.
Yes, yeah, no, it's been a very, very good day. Especially from the habitat side of things. But Todd, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, give a little backstory about you as a land lover, kind of how you got started here in Southeast Ohio with this property.
Absolutely. Love to, Matt. Thank you. Basically, I have always been an outdoorsman from the start, and my dad took me squirrel hunting as a young kid, and that's how I got the love for hunting and so forth, and he would take me fishing. So I had a piece of property in roughly 1999-2000 in Ripley, West Virginia, and absolutely loved it. Absolutely loved it. I was working on the habitat, got into deer hunting, and I didn't deer hunt much as a kid because there weren't any deer. If you think about it, I grew up in the 60s and early 70s and early 80s, the first deer I ever saw was 18 years old. Right. And I was in the woods all the time.
Mm-hmm.
We just didn't have any deer. And so it was all squirrel hunting and so forth. So when I got my farm in the late 90s, early 2000s, there was a lot of deer, and I just really got into deer hunting.
Sure.
And I just loved it. And I also at that time got into bass fishing because there was a creek in front of my house that was a spawning area for a lake that was downstream. And I started bass fishing just by happenstance and fell in love with it. So I sold that farm in 2001 or two and got remarried in 2005, I believe it was. I better know when that was, right?
Yeah.
And I always told my wife that once our kids got grown, I was going to buy another farm.
Mm-hmm.
And she would laugh and, oh, yeah, right. But she didn't know I was serious. I was going to buy another farm.
Yeah, yeah.
So along came my son went to college 3 years ago, and guess what I did?
I bought a farm. Hey, you're true to your word.
Yeah. And what's interesting, Matt, is I initially did not buy this farm for deer hunting because, quite frankly, back when I was in my 20s and 30s, I think I was in that kill mode. I just wanted to go kill something.
Right.
But something happened over the last 15, 16 years of my life. I just lost interest in, quote unquote, killing something.
Mm-hmm.
And the desire just left.
Yeah.
But I had a great desire. I'd always wanted to build a bass pond, a really wonderful trophy bass pond from scratch. And so I really bought this farm to build a bass pond.
That's funny.
Yeah,
You don't hear that often from people who are like, I love land. I want to be the guy who creates something from nothing, and there's no pond here, but I want to create one. I want to make it.
Yes. And not only did I want to make a pond, but I wanted to make the best bass fishing pond anywhere close by.
Right.
And a little bit of background there is when I sold my farm back in 2002, I had listened to a video series by Ray Scott, the founder of Bass, Bassmaster, and founder of Whitetail Institute and so forth. And it was a series called Great Small Waters. And he talked about how he built a lake. Everything from why he put a rock pile here and a car in this pond here and spawning beds and this and that. And that really, that lit a fire in me about that. And so I probably listened to that video series and watched it on the television probably 100 times over a 17-year period. I read every bass magazine you could think of, not about fishing, but about habitat.
Bass structure,
exactly.
Life cycle, what they do.
Everything. I became a sponge. And I got to know a guy named Bob Luss down in Texas, who is probably the premier pond manager in the country.
Right.
Named the Pond Boss. Well, anyway, long story short is I bought this farm to build a pond. I probably looked at topos of 50 farms and visited quite a few. And this was finally one where I could actually build a pond.
Yep.
And I wouldn't be breaking any of the regulations on, you know, damming up streams and so forth.
Sure.
So anyway, that's what started this. So that's how I got the farm. And the interesting part of this is that I got back into deer hunting.
As a result. Building a pond.
Yes.
On a property that had the right topo features for the pond, it opened the door for deer hunting.
And now I'm full force.
Now
I'm full force.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's funny the way that land ties you in and opens doors that you didn't previously. They were open, but it was a very small sliver at this time in your life when you bought it, and the intention wasn't there for the property to get you there. But now as we sit here today thinking about what we did today, we created and managed and manipulated habitat for white-tailed deer to improve not only hunting but security and cover across a farm. In various areas, and then in addition, we were looking at the forest composition and releasing white oak tree, because there's very little regeneration of oaks on the property right now from previous ownership or mismanagement. So it's funny how you wanted a bass pond. And now you're looking at up into oaks and saying, I need to release this. I need this to be an acorn producer, so I have more regeneration and I have hard mast on the property. So the deer that I want to hunt, they're not leaving during October and November.
Right. That's right.
They're staying here. So
and the passion that I had for building that bass pond is now, which I still have, by the way.
Yeah.
But I've built it.
Right. Right.
It's now transformed back into the same passion I had previously for deer hunting. And more importantly, not so much deer hunting. And I did have my absolute funnest deer season I've had in 17 years this year. But the habitat work and the same passion for building that pond from scratch is I want to do the same thing with this farm. And that's from a personal side that has nothing to do with our plans for the farm.
Right.
But it's that passion that I'm now diverting over to the hunting and habitat side.
Certainly.
Probably 80% on the habitat and 20% on the hunting.
And that's the cool thing that, you know, of course, this is the For Love of the Land podcast, but we have the hunting podcast, the strategy podcast, and then we have the habitat podcast. But like you said, we're cut from the same cloth as in a lot of what we do is so habitat oriented that when you do have the ability to hunt, It's the cherry on top and the cream, the base, the foundation is going out and working hard, sweat equity, and knowing that it's going to pay off, one, but two, knowing that you're making a difference.
Right. That's right.
And it's something like we saw today. We put trees on the ground and we created habitat and we're getting sunlight to the forest floor. Like, we know it's going to do something. We come back next year.
Absolutely.
In a year and it'd be transformed and deer utilize those acres completely different.
That's right. And here's the thing is not only, and I know this is not the hunting or the habitat podcast, but I have to say this, is that what I enjoyed so much about today, and even the first time you came to the property mm-hmm. earlier in the year, was we didn't just create some bedding areas in my timber to help hold more deer on this property, but you also planned that around exactly where we could put our stands
yeah.
to kill the deer, and how that the bedding areas would relate to the stand placement, and how we even talked about the way we get into the stands.
Yeah.
How you want me to go to those stands.
Right.
And that's way beyond just manipulating the habitat for better animals,
certainly.
For better wildlife. But it's not only that, it's how do we hunt them effectively?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the part that was, to me, was so fascinating. And that's probably what I learned the most was, is not just, okay, here we create this bedding area, but how it relates to our hunting effort.
Right.
And in fact, to be honest, we did the opposite. We knew we wanted to hunt deer in a certain spot, so we put the bedding area where we wanted it to hunt it. And it was mm-hmm. But this isn't about hunting and habitat. I get that, but.
But as a segue, this is a hunting property.
Yes.
And true to its uniqueness in the habitat and the devotion to habitat management that the property has, as you, as the leader of the you taking the helm, grabbing the bull by the horns, and
sure.
the 550 acres that mm-hmm. are here mm-hmm. From a habitat standpoint. It has a very unique direction and future.
Correct. That's right.
And that's what we really want to talk about today. And the terminology sounds super complicated, but it's not. And it's a very unique type of structure in a property and how other people are going to utilize a property, basically.
Right.
So the term is shared equity ownership.
Mm-hmm.
Break that down for us.
Sure.
I guess I'll kind of set the stage, the foundation of what this is right now you are the sole owner of 550 acres.
That's right.
In Southeast Ohio.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
This property is for your enjoyment.
Yes.
You know, you've got a beautiful lake. We're manipulating the habitat. You've been successful harvesting deer. You've had a couple of guests of harvesting some incredible deer on the property.
Mm-hmm.
But you want to take it to the next step. And that next step is the shared equity ownership. So bring us up to speed and kind of share your philosophy. And because this didn't happen overnight.
No, it did not.
This is similar to the love of the ponds. Is you had this idea years and years
20
ago.
Over 20 years ago.
Right.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So break down for us shared equity ownership.
Sure.
And once we
Absolutely.
Have that foundation, we're going to explain from a consumer or you know, standpoint of why in a hunting standpoint, recreational property
sure.
standpoint, shared equity ownership has extreme benefits.
Absolutely. Let me go back. When I started looking for land over 20 years ago, I didn't have the knowledge that I have today as far as with ponds and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was really looking for a place that was sort of at the time I was really into golf.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed the process of driving up to, and I had to belong to a country club. I enjoyed that process of driving up, getting my clubs, setting them down, someone taking my bags to the course, getting on the course, you know, playing golf, and then going back, eating lunch, and going home.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that process. And I always thought, what a great process that would be for hunting.
Sure.
And now, fast forward. Here we are today. Now, when I originally bought this property, I really didn't have it. At the time, I didn't have the intention of turning this into what we're calling shared equity ownership.
Yep.
There was no intention. There
right.
was not. I just wanted to build a bass pond. That's
yeah.
all I wanted to do. And I wanted to build. And by the way, I want to challenge the state record. We truly believe we can beat the state record with this pond.
Yeah.
And that's a totally other podcast, by the way.
But
I don't want to get into that too much because
it sets the stage though for the recreational
it does.
Possibilities
yes.
on the
yes.
property. So right, this is again,
yes.
I would love to talk about the pond, that's a totally another subject.
Yes.
But that's you know, evidence of the yes. quality and the yes. devotion, time.
That's right.
Resources that are in this pond.
That's right. I could talk 2 hours on why this pond is really the best bass pond, probably in the Midwest. But we're not going to do that
right.
today. So I spent over 3 years creating what I saw creating this property, taking what was an old cattle farm, an old fescue farm, and building a world-class pond, and really, truly, and we were talking about this today.
Mm-hmm.
The effort we're putting into this farm is second to none.
Yeah.
Not that this farm is the best farm in the country or the worst farm. It's not about that. But I challenge that there's very few people out there that are putting any more effort into a project than we are. We've, you know, I personally have spent over 2,500 to 3,000 hours here personally of my own time and so forth and so on. But having said that.
In a short window,
in a three-year window.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, but here's the important part. When we talk about shared equity ownership, rather than define it, let's talk about the challenges out there for people.
Sure.
Okay. You have, there's many people out there that have money, they have families, they have jobs, they have busy lives and whatever you have you. And the one thing that they don't have is time. They don't have time.
That is a common denominator.
Absolutely.
Among anybody's life, really.
That's right.
And truthfully, but that we see from a typical client's point of view is time is a limiting factor for
them. Time is a limiting factor. And knowledge.
Yeah.
And those are the two things that I see from what challenges people in buying property.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've seen several kinds of people, and I've experienced this myself, and I've seen it. And what ends up happening is you have a person that goes out there and wants to buy a farm.
Mm-hmm.
And they go out and they spend $700,000, $800,000, $900,000 $900,000 and buy 500 acres. Or they spend, you know, $100,000 and buy, you know, 50 acres or whatever amount you want to call it.
Yep.
And they have these great dreams. But then what happens is they go out there and they have their children, they have their wives, their husbands, their jobs, their families, all these things they do, and the property never reaches its full potential.
Yeah.
They also find that it's extremely expensive.
Mm-hmm.
It's extremely expensive
for a property to reach its
goals. Reach its potential.
Yep. On a given continual yearly basis.
Yes.
There's a lot of maintenance and money that goes into it.
Now, I'm not just trying to discourage people who have their own property or who are wanting to buy property that you have to go spend your whole life savings. Not necessarily. That's not what I'm saying. Okay.
Right.
You can go out there and they're very inexpensive ways through, you know, old field management, early successional planning, or early successional habitat, and all those things that don't really cost a lot of money.
Yep.
I get that, and I'm not discounting that.
Certainly,
and all they have to do is call you guys to figure that out
because
there's inexpensive ways to do it.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about a world class property. If you're wanting to have a world class property with a road system, with a world-class bass lake, and you want to have somewhat of a trophy farm, let's call it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying trophy deer. I'm not defining trophy deer.
Right.
I'm talking about a trophy experience.
Yep.
Where you can horseback ride, where you can ride side-by-sides, where you have kayaking on a lake, camping and hiking and all these things and have the aesthetics and so forth. It takes a lot of time and a lot of money and a lot of knowledge.
I was about to say, sign me up. I'm there. Yeah. I want to be there.
Yeah. So that's the challenge.
Yeah.
Okay. So what we have done and what the original plan was over 20 years ago, and now that I'm actually doing it, is when I started doing this property and I built the lake and now we've worked on the habitat, I myself am having those same challenges.
Mm-hmm.
I'm spending a whole lot of time managing this property, but I want to keep managing it.
Yeah.
And
At the same intensity. Yep.
And I don't want it to become a job.
Right.
Okay. And I'm not going to lie. It takes money.
Mm-hmm.
So I find myself starting to figure out, okay, how can I keep this world class?
Mm-hmm.
How can I not have another job? because I have one of those.
Yeah.
I don't want another one.
Right, right.
And it took me back to my original plan 20 years ago, which was how do we create something that solves all those problems?
Mm-hmm.
And we think we've done it
yep.
through shared equity ownership. So now let's define it. What shared equity ownership is, in this particular case,
mm-hmm.
it could be a larger scale or a smaller scale,
yep.
but we'll talk about this one. We've got this 562 acres here in Gallipolis, Ohio, that we're managing for a trophy turkey, trophy deer, trophy bass, horseback riding, and all the recreation that goes
mm-hmm.
around that. And instead of me owning it myself, I'm going to basically offer four other member ownerships.
Yep.
Okay. And what does a member owner get? Number one is we all own the farm collectively together.
Yep.
20% ownership, full ownership, you own something, number one. Go ahead.
I would say, but at the same time, it's access to the whole thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yep.
You don't own just 20%
Correct.
Of the farm. You own 20% of the whole farm.
Mm-hmm.
So you have the full access, the full benefit, the full recreational value, the full hunting value, the full fishing value, the full camping, horseback riding, all involved of the whole entire 562 acres.
Mm-hmm.
And you own 20% of it.
Yep.
Okay. So what's the benefit of that? Let's talk about the benefits. Number one, you also share in the expenses involved with that managing that property with five other people.
Operating the farm.
Operating the
basis.
Farm. I'll give you an example. I spent, and again, not to talk about the challenges and so
yes.
forth too much, but last year alone, I don't have the exact figures right now
yeah.
in front of me, but just on food plot seed alone last year was roughly
$8,000. Mm-hmm.
Because I manage the farm here, we have about 40 acres in actual food plot spring and fall.
Yep.
Okay. And so when you look at the seed costs alone, because I have to order in some of that seed, because
mm-hmm.
we try to get good quality seed,
sure.
like the Strattons and some
yeah.
of the other brands and so forth. So it costs money, almost
$8,000. Yeah.
Fertilizer alone was $4,000 or $5,000. And you look at herbicides were a couple $1,000s.
Mm-hmm.
So when you look at the cost per acre just to plant food plots, it's $350 roughly an acre.
Yep.
And that's about what QD May says it is
mm-hmm.
as well. Okay.
To do it right and get the desired
That's
results.
Right. That's right, to get the desired results. Now, you can go out there and
yeah.
do it haphazard,
yeah.
and you're not going to get those results. But as you can verify, we have some
mm-hmm.
really, really good food plots.
Fantastic, yeah.
So that's just food plots, okay? You still have to maintain road systems.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the equipment alone, Matt, I have, not me, but to run a farm like this,
yes.
I have over $250,000 in equipment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, a person would have to go buy that if
yeah.
they're going to manage a farm like this.
To manage it to this quality.
To this quality.
To this standard.
Mm-hmm.
That all that would fall on one person's shoulders.
One person's shoulders.
Typically.
Typically.
But not in shared equity
not
ownership.
Not in shared equity ownership.
Yep.
In fact, they don't have to even buy the equipment.
Mm-hmm.
It's already bought.
Yep.
It's already here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And so here's the advantages. Number one is when you buy a member equity ownership in this farm, and I'm not going to give numbers right
yeah.
now. It's not
yeah.
time for that. But you're basically spending about between a quarter or so what it would cost you to do all this yourself.
Yes.
It's a fraction of the cost.
Right. If you were to come and say, let's say we weren't doing shared equity ownership.
Mm-hmm.
And you were like, I just want to list it. I want to
mm-hmm.
move on. Right. One share would be a quarter of what you're saying.
Yeah. What I'm saying is that if they went and bought this farm right here where it sits.
As it stands yep.
right now. Or bought it like I did 3 years ago and
mm-hmm.
did the improvements I did. What they're paying to buy into this that's already done for them.
Right.
It's already been created. It's already been finished. I want to say finished. We're going to continue to improve it.
Sure.
They're spending a quarter of what they would spend if they did it all themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's if they did it all themselves. That's if they put the 2,000 or 3,000 hours and did
right.
it all themselves. If they had the knowledge to do it and
mm-hmm.
or the equipment, the experience, and the time. Now, with the advice of people like you and Adam, of course. Now, if you include the time that mm-hmm. I've put into it, it's probably more like 20% of what it would cost you, which is exactly, roughly what it costs to buy a membership. So you're really getting the same thing as you would if you did it all on your own, but at a fraction of the cost.
Yep.
That's the first advantage. It's much less expensive.
Yep.
To get a high quality, you're paying the price you would pay for a very low quality farm to get a world-class farm.
Yes.
Already done for you.
Done.
That's the first advantage. Here's the second advantage. The monthly cost it is to you.
Mm-hmm.
As I just told you, just in food plots, just doing the food plots alone, we're talking $12,000 to $13,000, $14,000. Just the food plots. It's not the roads. That's not gravel for the roads. That's not feeding the fish. That's not maintaining mm-hmm. the pond. We have 8 redneck blinds on this farm already purchased.
Stands in
place.
We have
over 20 stands in place.
Yeah.
And so forth and so on and so forth and so on. We went out there today and spent, I think, 10 hours doing habitat improvement.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, again, this is done for the person. So the monthly cost to run this farm, that member owner is going to pay 1/5 of that cost versus all of that cost.
Mm-hmm.
But remember, Matt, they get the full benefit of the whole farm.
Yep.
They get to hunt the whole farm. They get to fish the lake. They get to ride horses.
Yeah, they don't have a 20% of the shoreline
That's
on the
right.
lake to fish.
That's
you
right.
know, they got the whole thing.
The whole thing. They can sleigh ride on this farm. They can camp on this farm. They can, you know, they can build bonfires.
Mm-hmm.
They can just come here and enjoy it. Now, that's the theme.
Yep.
I want to stress that.
Yep.
Our motto is, and our kind of our catchphrase is, you know, everybody has a catchphrase.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you're the love of the land.
Yep.
You know, land life is for the love of the land. Ours is just show up and enjoy.
I like it. Yeah.
We believe, I believe you believe, and we believe at Trophy Farms, which is kind of our brand, that everything about this is just show up and enjoy. We want that person let's just use an example of a person, okay? We want that business owner sitting in Columbus, Ohio, or Charleston, West Virginia, or Louisville, Kentucky, or Charlotte, North Carolina, who is working hard to support his family, who loves the outdoors, loves family and hunting and fishing and all that, has done well for themselves, has the money to go buy a piece of property, but really does not have the time to manage it, doesn't have the time to do all the things we're talking about, and really doesn't have the knowledge. Yeah, he could hire Land and Legacy, but there's only one small piece.
Yeah.
Somebody still has to do all the work.
Right, they're still implementing the plan.
Yes, they got to implement the plan, and that's the part that people fail on in many, many cases. So he, in Columbus, Ohio, or Charlotte, North Carolina, can pay a fraction of the cost, a fraction of the monthly bill, do zero work, not hang a tree stand, not do anything with the habitat, not run a tractor, show up with their fishing pole or their crossbow or their shotgun. Or we're actually going to have stables here.
Yep.
They can bring their horses and they can stay here, live here. They can drive in on the Friday night, be in a tree stand Friday, or excuse me, they can afternoon work Friday. They can have a campfire Friday night. Saturday morning, they're in a tree stand.
Yep.
Saturday afternoon, they're fishing with their kids or riding horses with their wife.
Yep.
Sunday morning, they're in another tree stand or whatever it is they want to do.
Sure.
If it's turkey season, if it's maybe it's not even hunting season. Maybe
they're just
riding their horses, walking, camping, doing whatever they want to do on the farm or enjoying their house, which we'll talk about in just a moment.
Yep.
And guess what? They leave Sunday, they take their trash and they sit it out. We go get their trash, put in the trash bin. They don't mow their grass.
Yep.
They do nothing.
They just
show up and enjoy.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that.
And so for a fraction of the cost, zero time involved other than your recreation, that's all they do.
Yep.
And that is the 100% benefit of what shared equity ownership brings to the individual It solves that person's problem, which is, how can I recreate? How can I enjoy what I love?
Yep.
Enjoy the love of the land.
Mm-hmm.
And just show up and enjoy.
Yeah. That's why I love it. That's why it's like, there's, you know, light bulbs going off in people's head. Like, yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. Like, mm-hmm. I can see this, you know, platform, this format of ability to own land and share resources for the common goal, but you're not giving up any property.
Correct. That's right.
You have access to it all.
That's right. You have the same benefit as if you owned it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no way you can do all this by yourself. And let's talk about that. Now, I said I would mention a house.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing you get is you get your own house site that you own, and only you own it.
Right. Deeded.
That is your deed. Yep. It's deeded as part of the overall deed. You get a, you get a, basically it's called a lot, for lack of a better term. Mm-hmm. You get a lot to build a house.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of the master deed of ownership in the property.
Yep.
And you can sell it.
Mm-hmm.
This is not, I mean, this is no different than...
You're not locked in for life.
You're not locked in for life.
Yeah.
You can sell your member ownership and your house.
Yep.
You can... Now, we're not building the houses at this moment.
Yep.
That's a personal choice.
Sure.
We don't want to make that for people, but we're giving them the lot to build their house.
Absolutely.
If they want to hire us to build their house, that's perfectly fine.
Sure.
But we're not building the houses pre-built because we think that's a personal decision. I don't
want,
if I'm going to pay the kind of money, because remember, if you go out and buy a farm,
mm-hmm.
most of the time you're buying either a farm with a really old farmhouse that you're probably going to tear down or whatever, or it doesn't have one on it to start with.
Yep.
And if it does have a really nice house, you're paying a lot more for it. So we think people want to spend their money on what they want to build.
Yeah, and what their family, what their needs
are. That's right. They may only need a 3-bedroom, beautiful log home.
Right.
Or like we have here, it's a 5,000 square foot log home. So it's personal choice.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Let me mention one thing that you know, I'm talking about the how great it is for the individual.
Yeah.
But here's another side of this. I think it's better for the habitat and better for the animal. Let me tell you why.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you as much as, and you know how much I'm putting this both in time and money into this farm. There is no possible way that I personally can do all this myself.
Right.
And do it right.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing a great job, but there's always more to be done. And so when you have the shared equity ownership, we will have the resources available to have a full-time employee on staff here.
Yep.
At least for most of the season. There are certain times of season you don't need a full-time employee all winter long.
Yep.
But you certainly do during certain seasons and certain growing seasons and so forth. So we will be able to do it. Let's say that there's 100% of things that any property can do to be its maximum potential.
Mm-hmm.
Probably if people own land by themselves, they may do 20, 30%, at best 50%. There's always something else to do.
Definitely.
Because you have a limited resources, either time, money, or knowledge
mm-hmm.
when it comes to this. Well, when you share the pie, like we're talking about, we will certainly have the financial resources to mm-hmm. do all the stuff we need to do on this farm. Let's talk about time. Because we'll have the resources to have at least full-time employees part of the year. And we're even talking about working through some internships at the local colleges with Land and Legacy
mm-hmm.
as kind of the managing supervisor of that. That we'll have even other resources. So we will have the personnel available to run the equipment, to plant the food plots, to do the TSI, to do the burning, to do all the things we need to do habitat-wise.
Right.
And then, so we believe strongly that this property will meet its maximum potential.
Right.
That we won't be always thinking, well, I wish I had the time or the money to do this.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I had the time or the money to do that. We will be able to do all that.
Yeah.
We will be able to, this property, whatever its maximum potential is, whatever its quote-unquote genetic potential is,
right. Yep.
we will be able to do it because we have the time and the resources, which as much as I'm trying, there's no way I can do all this myself.
Sure. Yep.
And very few people do. And
yeah, absolutely. That's exactly right.
And let me mention one other thing. You've been around this a long time.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen it happen many, many times. A person that's been successful, have some money, and all of a sudden they go out and buy this piece of property. 4 or 5 years later, it's getting frustrating because they didn't realize how much equipment costs. They didn't have the time to do it, or they just they got busy with life and the property didn't reach its full potential. They really never got to enjoy it the way it did because it took too much work. We've seen it many, many times. Now, I'm not saying it has to be that way. There's many, many people out there that have phenomenal properties that are individual owners.
Yep.
And that will never change.
Certainly.
But there's also people that do it the other way.
There's an alternative.
Yes. And this meets those people's needs.
100%.
100%.
Yep.
And I think it's the better way to own land.
I see it as a future way to own land that, you know, as we're discussing it here, the opportunities, I see more people becoming interested in this and looking for these opportunities. From the standpoint of, again, it's a time and monetary resource that's limiting. So why not be able to share all that together, find those like-minded people, and kill it on a property.
Absolutely.
And know that when you do come here, it's ready. It's not that you have to, you know, go turn on the water and you know, winterize the house then.
That's right.
And
that's
all
right.
This stuff. Like, you don't have to do that.
That's right. People don't think about that, do they?
You know, no.
When they buy land, they don't think about that. They don't think about when they go to deer hunt, they probably spend 3 days getting the house ready or the camp ready or whatever it is they do.
Yeah.
They don't have to do any of that.
Yeah.
For example, when you kill that nice 150 class, 160, 130, whatever it is, and you get it back, there's a cooler down there. You can hang it for a week. You can hang it for dinner. Just little simple things like
that.
People don't think of
it. A Sunday evening, hang it and come back the next weekend.
Yeah.
And or you know, there's other possibilities. Like,
and you think that's just a simple thing, but you don't think about that when you go buy a piece of property.
No.
You go out there and it's 70 or 60 degrees out, which it can be that in September.
Sure.
I mean, in October, you can have 70 degrees deer here.
Easy.
Days here. You go out and you kill this deer. Great, I'm excited, whatever. Okay, you now have it. What do you do?
Oh, yeah.
You've got to butcher that thing and get that thing in a freezer right then, right there, or take it to somewhere. You don't have to do that here.
You don't
have to buy the equipment to hang it and skin. Mm-hmm. We have all that.
Yeah.
So those are these little things that people just don't think about or have the resources at times or what have you, because they show up and they got to work just to get a hunt in.
Yep.
And I think it's the better way to own land.
Mm-hmm.
I really do.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the future way, and it just solves the problem for the busy people and the people that lack the knowledge and or the time to do it themselves.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because remember, you have to have both.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you have to have all three. You have to have the money.
Yep.
You have to have the time.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to have the knowledge. Because, again, I can hire Land and Legacy, which I 100% recommend.
Oh, well, thank you.
But you can't be here every day.
No.
You can't be here every month.
Right.
So there has to be a certain amount of knowledge that the person has to take what you're telling them to do and do it right.
To apply it in the right way.
To apply it in the right way. That's a better choice of words than what I use. Yes.
Yeah. It's a owning land is a very big responsibility. In my opinion, from a conservation minded person, I think you have a very big responsibility. You owe it to the land. You owe it to the people who you don't know who are going to own it, but you know, after you.
It's an awesome thing, but a very big. It can be the elephant in the room, or it can be the best thing that ever happened.
Right, right.
It just, And let me mention something else. Here's something that you and I were talking about the other day when we mentioned this to someone else. I believe this way of owning land brings in people that never were even looking.
That's a great point.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And let me tell you why. Because let me use successful business people for a minute. Successful business people got successful because they didn't make foolish decisions.
Yeah.
They know what their core competencies are. And a successful business person that has no time knows that they don't have the time to own land. They'd love to. They've always wanted to. But the reason they're successful is because they don't make foolish decisions. So they're not going to just go out and spend, you know, X amount of dollars on a piece of land that they have no time and knowledge to even know what to do with it. So I believe the people that this is going to, I think it could benefit anyone that has the resources and the and that wants to be a part of something like this. But I believe the real sportsman or sportswoman that's going to benefit from this is the person that isn't even looking for land right now.
Yeah.
And they're not looking because they know they can't do it themselves. They don't have the time, the knowledge, and so forth.
It's not an opportunity on their plate.
It's not on their plate right now. But if they knew this was available, and this way of doing it was available, they would become interested.
It's feasible at that
point. It's feasible at that point because it meets their time requirement, it meets their money requirement, and it meets their knowledge requirement.
Yep.
And they're used to doing this. Matt, how many people belong to country clubs and they just show up and play golf and go home? How many people belong to tennis clubs? They show up and play tennis and go home. How many people belong to pools? They don't go out and, now I have a pool and I love
it. Gym.
A gym. Yeah. They don't, you know, there's plenty of people have gyms in their own basements and whatever, but most people, they go to a gym, they enjoy the gym and they go home. They don't clean the equipment.
No.
And people don't realize that.
And that, you know, at home, they could pay for, you know, five pieces of exercise equipment.
Yep.
But at the gym, they pay a membership.
That's
and
right.
And they have access to 100 different
That's
pieces.
That's right. They have the showers and the lockers and all this equipment, and they don't have to clean it. I mean, I bring that up as a funny thing, but people don't get it.
They don't have to, you know, if there was a lot of maintenance on those pieces of equipment, they don't have to do that. That's taken care
That's right.
of.
You and Adam know this. Tractors break down, and they break all the time.
If there's anything with an engine,
That's right.
at some point it's gonna need parts. It's gonna need, you know, someone to with the knowledge again.
Yep.
To diagnose the problem.
That's right.
You know, all of it. Take it apart, put it back together, and I'm not a mechanic. I'm not a mechanic, but. People have their roles, just like you were talking about their competencies.
That's right.
I'm not a mechanic.
Yep.
I'm going to take my truck to a mechanic shop to get it worked on when it's broken down.
That's right. Do you know, last year alone, four tractor tires busted from antlers.
Really?
Okay, four. All right, that's just tires being busted by antlers.
Yeah.
Four of them. Two brush hogs burned up gears.
Oh, wow.
One auger sheared pin. And I can go on and on.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
That right there is the stuff that when you use equipment, it's going to break.
It's going to happen. That's proper use of the equipment, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's not abuse.
No, it's not abuse. Anytime you own a farm, if you're doing any work whatsoever, when I was doing some brush hogging, I ran into an old fence line that was covered up by vegetation. I never saw it.
Yeah.
There's no wrapped it up, burnt.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So when people buy land, they see this beautiful piece of property, but they don't think about that's going to happen to them. It's
going to happen.
The
cost of that piece of equipment and then the maintenance that takes to maintain that.
So if you think it through for a moment, if you own the land by yourself. Now, again, I'm not discouraging people from owning land.
Definitely not.
That is a wonderful thing. And if you have the time, knowledge, expertise, and money to buy your own land, hey,
fantastic.
Go do it. And I encourage you because it's a wonderful thing. And I'm not discouraging that at all.
But like you
at
said, all. This is an opportunity for the people who are aware of what it does take or are scared to to take that step into
yes.
it.
Yes.
That's what this opportunity is for. It, yes. it just gives you multiple choices to make. If
that's
you
right.
want to own land and be a part of land
right.
in a highly managed property, this is a way to do it where it's done.
That's
you
right.
just buy into it, and you happen to buy into it at a fraction of the cost. Yeah.
And we've talked, you know, I've talked about things breaking and expenses
yeah.
going out of this. And let's talk about a couple of good things real quick.
Yeah.
And I don't know how much time we have, but you know, you tell me when we've
yeah.
done enough. Let me give you just an example of some of the really good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is what a shared ownership property affords you.
Right.
Now I'm going to talk about this one because this is the one I know really well.
Sure.
But this could apply to other properties out there
mm-hmm.
in the same. I know that there's a few out there like this around the country, not
yeah.
exactly like
right.
this, but because I think we're the best,
similar.
Of course,
absolutely.
But they're similar. but let me give you an example. Let's talk about this pond for a sec, because we've been talking about tractors and
yeah.
deer and whatever. Let's talk about the pond. You can go out there and you can buy a land with a pond on it, but you're not getting a pond like this.
Yeah.
Let me explain what I'm talking about. And you've seen the pictures.
Mm-hmm.
This pond was laid out, every single part of this pond was laid out with every piece of structure, every piece of concrete, every bit of piece of PVC pipe, every ridge, every hole, every hump was put in every spot for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny, bass in particular and all most fish are like deer. They're cover animals.
Yep.
They like to stay close to cover. They travel distinct routes. They have certain habitat types and so forth. And so what I learned over the past 20 years of studying this before I built my pond was that you can actually lay out a pond in such a way that you can determine where the fish are and when you catch them and where you catch them.
Mm-hmm.
And every season, like wild animals,
yep.
every season bass in particular do different things.
Utilize different portions
of
the pond.
Different portions.
Yep.
You know, you hear the old saying that 90% of the bass are in 10% of the lake, and that's very, very true.
Mm-hmm.
But that 10% changes from season to season, even day to day.
Mm-hmm.
Just like a deer.
Yep.
A deer may bed on the north side if it's warm.
Yep.
But if it's cold, they want to bed on the south side so they get the sun's rays.
Yep.
Okay. Same way with a bass.
Sure.
If it's, you know, wintertime, they're going to be deep and hovering close to cover, but they're going to
mm-hmm.
stay deep where the water's warmer. If it's in the middle of summer and it's hot, they're going to be right near the thermocline.
Yeah.
And so they're around cover. So there's all these different, and in the spring, they're going to be shallow and
right.
so forth and so on. Well, why do I say that? This pond was created in such a way that we built it so that not only would you can walk around the entire 4-acre lake,
mm-hmm.
and every single place you walk, there's a place that you can cast and catch a fish in all seasons.
Hmm.
All seasons.
Yeah.
Because we put deep structure, shallow structure, heavy, dense structure,
right.
light structure, all around every piece of the lake. We also built it so that if you were in a bass boat,
mm-hmm.
same thing. You could go anywhere in the lake during any season and you could catch fish.
Yeah.
That's that part of it. Let me talk about something else. Let's talk about the stocking. We're in Ohio. The
mm-hmm.
state record bass in Ohio is 13 pounds. It's actually 13.13. They don't do ounces. They do point.
Okay.
It's 13.13
yep.
pounds. And that's the state record, which is a huge bass for Ohio. Now, in Texas
yeah.
or Florida, that's not a huge bass.
Mm-hmm.
But up here, that is a huge bass because the northern strain of bass don't grow as large as the Florida strain.
Right.
There's Florida and there's northerns.
Yep.
Basically, the south is made up of mostly Florida strain bass.
Mm-hmm.
Above the Mason-Dixon line, though they don't live here.
Right.
They won't live. They winter kill. The northern bass are more aggressive. The Florida bass are known to be very lethargic. They don't
mm-hmm.
hit bait as well. So a place in Alabama called American Sportfish, they created a hybrid called an F1 tiger bass, which is a cross between a very aggressive northern and a very large Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And over many, many years, they've been through genetic, you know,
yeah.
doing what they do, they've created a strain of bass called a tiger bass, and it's world renowned. It's
mm-hmm.
famous.
Yep.
Okay. They are more aggressive than Floridas, but they grow larger than northerns.
Wow.
They live in the north. They can live up north. So So this strain can come up north, and they grow larger than northerns, but they're more aggressive than Floridans. So they're that best of both worlds up here. We are the only lake ever in the state of Ohio to get a permit to import these F1 tiger bass.
Yeah.
So we are the only lake you can get these in, period.
Yeah.
We're the only ones that have ever got the permit. We had to go through a process to get them, and no one's ever done it. So by nature, genetically, we have superior bass than the state record bass in Ohio.
Yeah.
Because we know that was not a Florida, because it can't live in Ohio.
Sure.
So unless someone brought it from Florida and put it here in the summer, which we don't know that happened, and someone caught it, that bass was a northern bass. We genetically have superior genes than that.
Right. The capabilities are there. Yeah.
We fed 2,000 pounds of bass food last summer. That converts 2-1, meaning that for that 2,000 pounds, it put 1,000 pounds of bass on our, on our 1,000 pounds on our bass. Let me give you an example. We stocked these northern bass last June. Okay. It's now December.
Yep.
So it's basically 1 year and 6 months since we stocked them. We stocked some fingerlings, and we stocked a few more adult bass. The largest bass we stocked in this pond, the largest was 2 pounds.
Right.
We stocked a lot of half to three-quarter pounders as well. I caught a 5, and I have it. I show the scale. I have a picture of it. I caught a 5.25-pound bass 3 months ago.
Wow.
Or 2 months. You know, 3 months ago. So in 1 year.
It's a lot of weight.
And 3 months, even if that was the 2-pound bass, and it was, I doubt it was that 2-pounder because we only had one of those.
Yeah.
If it was, though, that bass went from 2 pounds to 5.25 in 1 year and 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
It more than doubled in size.
Yeah.
That's the power of those F1 tiger bass and the feeding program we're on. So what I'm saying is this, and I know I'm going a long-winded answer about this, but that's what shared equity ownership gives you.
Yeah.
You simply can't buy a lake like this. You simply can't go create one yourself unless you've spent 17 to 20 years studying this and hiring the best biologists in the country to help you with it. That's what, and then we have the, because we're collectively, the five memberships are funding this property, which is a lot cheaper than if you're doing it yourself.
By far, we can
continue to feed. We have 7 feeders going around this lake.
Yeah.
And the habitat and so forth. Stocking alone, and I'll shut up about this lake after this. It's the only figure I'm going to throw out there.
Yeah.
$24,000 just to stock this lake.
Right. So
it's a special place.
Exactly. And that's a great way to end it. It's a special place. And the property itself is called the Hogan.
Yes.
And the Hogan is a special place and offers so much more than just a unique bass pond.
Yes.
Like I said, that there's different ways to recreate on the property. And it's all the buy-in and then the monthly or the maintenance throughout an entire year is all at a fraction of a cost.
That's right. And I know you said we need it there, but let me just summarize, okay? Again, we're talking about shared ownership as a concept.
Yep.
But we're talking about shared ownership in this particular property.
Sure.
Okay? We're going to have, of course, the best, in my opinion, with your help, we're going to have probably the best deer hunting anywhere within a several hundred mile radius.
Yep.
Okay. Number two, without a doubt, the best bass fishing. There's no question there. Okay. Number three, we're going to have horseback riding. In phase three, which is once we sell the ownerships, we're going to build a pool because we know that sometimes families don't want to hunt. Some people, members don't.
A great way to enjoy and bring the family during
my
the summertime.
My wife hates hunting.
Right.
Doesn't like it at all. Wishes I wouldn't do it, but she loves to sit by the pool.
Yep.
We're going to build a pool. We're going to have a small little workout room off the pool. We're going to have a skeet shooting range.
Yep.
We're going to have, you know, things like places to shoot archery. You can ride side-by-sides, limited use of side-by-sides, because we don't want to hurt our hunting. Everything revolves around the hunting and the fishing. So there's many other things that we want people, we literally want people to show up and enjoy all seasons. If you know the big snowstorm's coming, you know, get in your car, come over here, sit by the campfire, inner tube down a hill.
Yeah.
Go. We were ice skating on our lake last year.
That's
we had 10
cool.
inches of ice.
Oh, wow.
We were
yeah.
ice skating.
That's cool.
If it's summertime, come and lay by the pool.
Mm-hmm.
Ride your horses. Just sit and enjoy.
And there's more campfires.
Just
throw a line in the water.
I can't keep saying it. Just show up and enjoy.
That's it. Well, if you're interested in it,
mm-hmm.
and interested in the concept, whatever it is, let us know. Because, again, it's truly unique. But it's info@landlegacy.tv. We'd be happy to talk with you about it. And there's going to be more information
yes.
about this property coming up as Adam and I are working on it with you and getting it out there. So, you know, this is just, you know, really a preview, a snapshot mm-hmm. of some of the details and more of the structures to come. But
let's talk just at least simply about timeline. Just
sure.
just not
Absolutely.
Not specifically, but in the spring, sometime in the spring, probably in the April-May timeframe, we're going to open it up for showings on a couple
yep.
weekends, and we're, you know, it's going to be sort of a field day open house kind of situation where we bring
exactly.
all the potential buyers in. And then we're hoping to have this wrapped up and finalized and everybody starting to build their house or whatever they want to
mm-hmm.
do on their,
mm-hmm.
their property by midsummer.
Yeah.
So they could literally be hunting next fall.
Right. You know, it's late September, deer season comes
yep.
in, and we want people
mm-hmm.
here, memberships to be fulfilled and people on the property enjoying it.
Do we mention September 15th? Is that something to mention here?
We can, sure.
Okay.
Sure.
To kind of talk about the specialness of the property,
yeah.
and I don't mean to be bragging about the property, but guess
yeah.
what? I'm going to brag about it.
Yeah, that's
hey.
Fine. This is the place to do
That's
it.
Right. Because of Land and Legacy and not only all the work that they have done, but their attachment and their, I don't know if what the right word is, their
I'd say relationship.
Relationship with
yeah.
Cutie Man and so forth.
Which is the Quality Deer Management Association.
Yes. They're going to hold their Stewardship 2 course, and you can go into mm-hmm. as much or little detail about that as you want, on this property in September. And we're
yep.
the only property, as far as I know, we're the only property this year that they're going to show that they're going to have this Stewardship 2 course anywhere in the country.
Yes.
Is that correct?
That's definitely correct. This
okay.
is the only public course that QDMA is offering for 2019. So, you know, again, it's being held here on this property for the diversity within the property, the work that's been done, the habitat, the ability to showcase features of the property and educate other people. You know, you have knowledge. We have been able to share some of that, but you dive in, you are a sponge yourself, and it's representative in the habitat and the landscape and what you're doing on a day-to-day basis out here. So this is a way for, you know, the relationship that we have and the Land and Legacy and Todd and Land and Legacy and QDMA to showcase this and
right.
make it public
mm-hmm.
to people. So if you are interested in those classes, let us know too. We can get you, you know, signed up and get you some more information. You do have to go through the QDMA Steward 1 course prior to doing and basically graduating and coming into the Steward 2. But this is going to be a 3-day event where we're out here and there's forestry accreditation, everything that goes into this course. It's very, very well done. And it's the only public course offered through QDMA.
And they don't do it just on any property.
No,
right?
No.
They've done these on some pretty famous people's property,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, very, very nicely done properties.
Yeah.
yeah.
So it's an honor. I guess
yeah.
what I'm saying is it's an
right.
honor to be one of those few.
Absolutely.
And of course, I owe that a lot to you guys because
well,
it never would have happened without
we thank
by
you
myself.
For the opportunity to allow us to host it here with you and you know on you know for QDMA and members and non-members too. It's open for non-members, but no, it's just a great collaboration in my opinion of different entities that all have the same respect and love for the land. Respect and love for whitetail deer and habitat.
Do you mind if I give a website? I know we're going to be creating a different website,
right.
but do you mind if we give a website
no.
and a phone number? Is that
no,
okay?
That's fine.
If anyone's interested in the shares ownership concept and our farm in particular, the first contact would be Adam and Matt
mm-hmm.
at Land and Legacy. That would
yep.
be your first line of contact. But you can also visit, we have a current website. Now, we're going to be doing another website, but we do have one right now, and it's trophyfarms.net, TROPHYFARMS.net, trophyfarms.net.
Yep.
Very simple. And then you're welcome to call me 304-421-0053. Be happy to talk about the property. Again, my name's Todd Watts. But I would encourage you first to call, you know, Matt and Adam, or me. That's fine.
Yeah.
But you can visit the website. It tells everything about the property, the whole process.
So hope you guys enjoyed learning about shared equity ownership and the passion that Todd, you have for this property, the direction it's heading, and the ability to share it, truthfully share it with other families. That's special.
Thank you.
It's taking, like we talked about this earlier, private ground and kind of ish making it public.
That's right.
What would be a property that one family would enjoy is now a property that multiple families
yes.
can collectively
right.
enjoy.
Right.
It's getting more people
right.
on private ground.
Right. You have the privacy of your own place.
Yep.
But you're allowing five families in this particular case to enjoy property that only one family is right now.
Exactly. So appreciate it. Hope you guys are intrigued by this. I'd like to hear your thoughts too. So comment on social media, let us know what you think. And we'll have some more property interviews with some land agents coming up, so hang around. But Todd, thank you very much for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
All right, guys. So next up on the For Love of Land podcast, we're back to able to get through some of the holidays and some of the busy times of consulting for Matt and I. And so we're actually back interviewing some agents, and we've got one from kind of a long story how we met, but we kind of stayed in touch, and it's Mr. Adam Hayden with Whitetail Properties. Adam, are you there?
I'm here. How you doing today?
I'm doing great, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing good.
How's the world of real estate where you're at?
I'll tell you what, man. You can tell it's almost springtime because it's really picked up. Just this week alone, picked up 5 listings, closed a couple, so things are hopping along pretty good.
So, Adam, tell listeners what area you're at in Ohio.
So, I cover the southwest portion of the state. Kind of give you an idea. I would say, it would be east of Cincinnati over toward the Manchester area. Then
okay.
up through, Peebles, Piketon, up to Chillicothe. And
what's the name of some of those counties?
So, it's Claremont, Brown, Adams, Pike, Highland, Ross. Those are the main counties I cover. There are, a few more in there, but right now that's what I've been focusing on.
Okay. That's a pretty good area. What's the landscape for you? What are you seeing? I know you've got big deer over in the area, but what are a lot of your listings made up of?
It's all over the place. I've got stuff that's perfectly flat, farm ground, timber ground, and then, you get over toward, you get closer toward the river, you start getting into some more terrain. But that's a pretty unique area right there. It just has a little bit of everything from cattle farms, tillable ground, recreational ground, timber properties. It's a pretty cool area to cover. It's fun and something new every day as far as just terrain and property type.
Yeah, I love the diversity of landscape over mm-hmm. there. Before we highlight the property you've got for us today, let's give us an idea what some of the land values are in your area. What are you seeing recreational ground going for on average?
I would say on average you're looking anywhere from, depending on what county where it's at. It's a broad range actually, but you're talking anywhere from 18 to 22, 23 an acre.
Okay.
On average and the majority.
What about
some of it goes more, some of it goes less.
Yep, absolutely. What about cattle ground?
Well, as far as cattle ground, I would say just a pretty good average on that, anywhere from 24 to 26.
Okay.
I just listed a pretty good one in Adams County, Ohio, 92 acres. So be watching out for that one. Should go live on our website probably next week. But
okay,
you know, it's been family owned for many years, well kept, and not to mention it's got some big deer sign on it too.
And I know crop ground probably varies, but you're looking. What do you see in some of the average? And average is almost like a broad statement because I know it goes all over the place with crop ground. But what are you seeing some of your stuff for out there?
You know, it's crazy just the average or the range that it's selling for. I mean, you know, and two, sometimes it's hard to find a property that is just tillable in certain areas of my territory. You know, a lot of it's mixed. You know, a lot of it's mixed timber, mixed tillable, mixed pasture. But I would say just on a tillable, and again, it's a broad range, but just depending on where you're at. Gosh, man, you're talking anywhere from 25 to 6, 7, 8 grand an acre, potentially.
Gotcha. Okay, well, that's all very interesting, but what property do you have for us today?
Well, you know what? The property that you know, you and I have spoken about a few times, actually, is a property in Ross County, Ohio. It's 110 acres. It's a very diverse tract. Offers food plots, potentially some tillable. You know, even if a guy wanted to run a few head of cattle on it, would be great for that as well. But it is heavily timbered, and the gentleman that owns it, he's a deer hunter, and he's designed this property to grow big deer. But it also has an absolute beautiful home, over 5,500 square feet, custom built. You know, it's stone. It is secluded. But the cool thing about this property as well is, you know, it's just a few miles south of Chillicothe, right off good access to US 23 off of DeBoard Road. But at the end of the day, I mean, man, you get back on this property, you can hardly hear anything, but you're just minutes from town.
I'm looking at the pictures, and it's a very beautiful stone house.
It is, yep. And it's priced right now, too. You know, we've got a heck of a deal on this property right now. Around $629,000, I believe, is where we're at, and it is priced well below appraised value.
Wow, hopefully a listener out there really piques his interest in Ohio. We have a lot of people that listen from Ohio, so maybe you'll find somebody. I see it looks like you've got cedar beams in this place, or cedar posts.
Yeah, the seller took cedar posts from the property and put in this house, and all of the handrails. There's all kinds of custom work in here. I mean, he's taken ash off of the property and made custom handrails. Just put a beautiful touch to the property. And, you know, there's so much to this thing that, I mean, it would take 20 minutes to tell you about it, maybe even longer than that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
there'll be a link in the show notes. They can check out a lot of this stuff.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I see the handrails and the ash. Yeah, that looks very cool. What is your favorite part about this property?
You know something, I mean, my favorite part of it is the seclusion of it all. Obviously, the gorgeous home, but there's a huge pond on it that's stocked. I would probably call it a lake. And then two smaller ponds as well. But the cool thing about this property is, you know, they've had it for several years. They've only taken two deer off this property.
Oh, wow.
The majority of the landowners around him don't hunt. And the two deer that they've taken off this property are five-year-old deer.
Oh, wow.
So he has managed this to grow big deer, and there is huge potential there. I mean, the deer that they've taken, you know, they're going to average, I would say, upper 50s, low 60s. So they're not taking anything small.
Yeah.
They take several deer, does off of it anyway. But, you know, as far as mature deer, they're not touching it. So this property would be amazing for just a growing family, somebody that loves the outdoors, obviously. But could also be some income producing there in the sense of, you know, let's just say you got a guy that wants to start a small lodge or something. I mean, there's a lot of potential for that here, too, because, you know, it's 110 acres, but it hunts so much bigger than 110 acres. It's hard to explain until you put your eyes on it.
Yeah.
But, you know, the way the terrain lays, what he has done to this property. You know, I mean, there's unlimited stand locations on this place and entrance for, you know, prevailing winds in the fall. So it is just laid out perfect for an outdoor.
Looks like you enter in from the east. Is that correct? But the house kind of sits south central?
Correct.
Yep.
And he's got a nice maintained trail system throughout this property. I mean, you can get anywhere from anywhere on this property with any wind direction.
Very cool. That's a wonderful thing to have, especially, I mean, 110 acres. So let's maximize that for hunting aspect. And if you can move around and hunt on multiple wind and access trails on multiple winds, it's going to lay a lot bigger property. And it sounds like it already lays that way in general. So
yeah,
sounds like a wonderful piece. How many acres? How many acres do you think could possibly be tillable?
I'm going to say, and I'll be conservative in this, I'm going to say minimum 25.
Okay. Yeah.
25. Yeah. I would say conservatively, let's just call it 25 acres.
Gotcha. Okay. And what was the square footage on this house? 5,500, it looks like.
It's over 55. So he's got approximately 1,800 square feet in a basement with poured concrete walls.
Wow.
That is unfinished.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so you enter the, you go down the steps with the custom handrails, and then you enter into this awesome little man cave, and then off to both sides of this big room are two unfinished rooms that there's a half bath down there as well, and that you could just make whatever you wanted to, but they're unfinished and ready for whoever buys this.
Geothermal heating too, I see.
It is 4-zone geothermal, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Sounds like a heck of a house and a 30-by-40 detached 3.5-car garage.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And, you know, the utilities, the electric bill on this property, I believe, only has averaged under $250 a month at 5,500 square feet. So,
jeez.
You know, he has really designed this house to optimize every little thing about it, even down to just, you know, like that geothermal heating and cooling system. I mean, he's got little things that just really optimize how that thing works.
Mm. Yeah. Awesome. Who do you think, I mean, we always ask the question, who do you think the buyer is? But, man, it sounds like you could be almost anybody here for the buyer, just somebody looking for a home in the woods or somebody who's looking for a hunting paradise with a home.
That's just it. I mean, you know, this property would be great for anybody. You know, if you want seclusion, you've got it. If you want something that's not too far from town, you got it. If you want them both, it's there as well. Cause honestly, I mean, you know, you can turn off the US 23 there, you go on DeBoard Road, and you know, it's not a bad drive at all to chill a coffee, but man, you can hardly hear anything up there. And not to mention it's a very short drive, just gosh, I would say less than a mile or mile and a half over to Scioto Trail State Park to, you know, that has thousands of acres of additional recreation opportunity right there. So,
wow.
Pretty unique area.
Yeah. How could somebody get a hold of you if they want more information?
Well, they could reach me on my cell phone, which is my main line as well. But, you know, that number is 513-814-1987. Or they can go over to whitetailproperties.com, navigate to Ohio, and click on Ross, and you'll see this property right there.
There you have it. What about an email?
It's adam.hayden@whitetailproperties.com, and properties is plural in that.
Gotcha. Well, there you have it, folks. If you if you're interested in looking for property in Ross County, Ohio, or anywhere in Ohio, Adam might be your guy. So give him a shout, and let him know what you're looking for. Adam, appreciate you coming on and telling us about this awesome property in Ross County.
Adam, I appreciate you, and enjoyed my time here, man. And if I can do anything for you, let me know.
Sounds good, buddy. Take care.
All right, buddy. Bye-bye.